lot of people, they do buying, flipping, selling, renovations and that kind of thing. And for me, it's not to say I won't do something out in the future, but you know, I see the more benefits of holding and acquiring a portfolio long term that is, you know, rich in cash flow and that continues and compounds year after year, as well as equity.
This is Property Invest Story, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we'll continue the conversation with young investor Eddie Dillon, who will share how he acquired a $2 million portfolio by the age of 25. He will also delve into his mindset and the strategy you can emulate to achieve your goals and retire early. Dillon says that a lack of influence from family and friends was what held him back from investing in property at the outset. He felt that he had to use outside resources in order to learn more.
I suppose for me, what was initially holding me back is just not being around other people who have actually invested in property before. You know, going back to when my mum was on housing commission, they never owned a house of their own, didn't live in a house that we owned at all or anything. And no one in my family had invested in properties or even relatives or friends, no one that I knew had ever invested. So, yeah, that was a huge thing for me. And just, you know, I had to, you know, find other ways of learning and teaching myself how to, you know, get the confidence and how to, you know, go out and purchase the first property.
Elaborating on his methods, it was all about reading and absorbing the information he needed to start out on his property investment path.
Initially, when I was about 17, 18, before I purchased the property, going back then, it was just, you know, reading as many books as I could. You know, back then, you know, there was, you know, countless amounts of information on the internet, which you can, you know, spend all year reading about. You know, some videos here and there, and some, you know, magazines as well. So you got, you know, Showing Property magazine, Your Investment Property magazine, all that kind of stuff. We can see people who have built portfolios and what they look like and how the portfolio is performing and all that kind of stuff. So that types of magazines and that kind of thing. And I don't really think they had podcasts or anything back then. Unfortunately. But yeah, just that kind of thing. So yeah, just doing that, reading books and magazines and, you know, getting my head around everything.
Although he didn't start out with any mentors to give him advice on property investing, he gradually began to learn more through more experienced investors and then supplementing that with his own research.
Well, when I was purchasing the first few properties, I was just teaching myself that kind of thing and learning from other people. Yeah, along the way, after about the 3, 4, 5 properties, I started meeting people here and there that had more properties than me, and you know, then I started talking to them and finding out what have they done, and you know, what could they have done better, you know, and how I can use the information learning from people and also reading the books as well. But yeah, it was more so just doing the research, spending countless amounts of hours on, you know, realestate.com and actually going and seeing properties as well and looking what the market's doing.
Dillon has also learned valuable information from leading property investor Nathan Birch. He found Birch's YouTube videos to be very useful when getting started in property investing.
When I was first starting investing, I would, you know, watch a lot of his YouTube videos and everything like that, you know, which was the only kind of YouTube videos around at the time. But yeah, you get a lot of information by learning from other people what they've done and how they've done it. And yeah, so it's, you know, just another one of those inspiring stories.
Yeah.
That you can learn from and use that to, you know, grow your portfolio as well.
The best advice he has been given is that purchasing in a capital city is going to be beneficial in the long run, provided the properties are strong in cash flow.
I've heard of a lot of different amounts of advice, a lot of different amounts of information. One of the things I've actually heard, you know, not too long ago is, and actually can't even, to be honest, remember where it was from. But if you take property investing or just property in general, if you take it over the course of, say, 10, 15 years, if you've actually spoken to someone that's purchased in a capital city, say, for example, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you would never hear them say it was a terrible choice to purchase that property or they've lost money on that property, say, 15, 20 years ago. You know, maybe perhaps in something like a regional or mining town or something crazy like that, which has very, you know, high fluctuations and that kind of thing. But if you're purchasing property in a capital city like Sydney, Queensland, Adelaide, Victoria, whatever it is, that doesn't rely on outside, you know, economic conditions, that is just, you know, mainly generated by the infrastructure going in the city and population growth over time. You know, to think the same thing 10 years from now, 15, 20 years, 30 years from now, it's a long-term game and you've got to be in there for the long run. But if you can hold an amount of properties that are strong in cash flow, so they take care of themselves, over the course of that time, you know, for 20 years, you know, what could they possibly be worth then? And what position would that put you in, you know, to live the life you want?
At 24, Deline set himself the challenge to own 10 properties before he turned 26 years old. Now, at 25, Deline is already at 9 properties, and his portfolio worth is in the millions.
So I'm currently on the way to 10. I don't have 10 quite yet. I've got 9. Yep. I'm negotiating the 9th one at the moment, but it's just around the $2 million mark. It would probably be roughly, in terms of net equity gain that I've had, the total cost would probably be around the 1.4, 1.35 mark or something like that, given that I've purchased the properties very low, you know, under market value, and then they've grown as well as the market shifted and moved. So,
one of the major issues that Deline came across in his property investment journey was dealing with finance lenders.
There's been a lot of, you know, ups and downs, of course, throughout it. You know, building a portfolio when you're aiming for 10 or, you know, 20 properties, whatever it is, or even less. But probably after, say, about the fifth property, I believe it was about the fifth property, there came a time when I was trying to actually release equities from a fair few of my properties so that, you know, in big chunks so that I could go and, you know, put that into more deposits and purchase and really ramp things up a little bit. But, you know, one of the things I've come to learn is finance is, you know, a good 50-60% of property investing, you know, part of that journey. So it's, you know, dealing with the setbacks from banks. So I went to, you know, countless different banks and countless different, you know, brokers and that kind of thing, trying to get finance, trying to be able to release my equity. But given the position and, you know, the job I was in, the income and all that kind of stuff, that's where stuff, you know, tends to get a little bit more hard as you progress and as you build your portfolio. You know, so it's making sure you've, you know, got the right team of, you know, finance lenders and on your side, then that will actually be able to deal and work with investors. Because a lot of other finance, if you go to, you know, some second tiers or third tier lenders, they're not quite accustomed to dealing with people that have that amount of properties and that amount of, you know, rental income coming in and that kind of thing, and how they use that rental income to service a debt and then, you know, get that loan approved for you, basically. So yeah, finance was a huge thing. I was on the my fifth property trying to purchase 6 and 7, and it was a good, I was stuck for about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 months trying to get finance across the line and, you know, doing what I can, and countless setbacks. So that was a huge thing.
However, Deline refused to give up on his journey and through some serious determination overcame his obstacles.
One word pretty much, persistence. really, you know, kept trying different avenues. You know, how you go to different banks and lenders is a huge thing as well, like how you present yourself and how you, you know, can show that, you know, you're operating these properties like a business and, you know, they're generating income, and using that to put towards your income, whatever you're doing at the moment. So it's just keep trying, you can't take no for an answer, what I've learned, and I'm sure you know that as well.
Property investment is a complicated business, but once Deline learned the secrets to finance, his property journey was instantly enhanced.
Got a few different ones, but like one stands out, but in particular, I think after the second property, and I was working with a finance broker at the time, and I was, you know, trying to learn as much as possible about how the banks look at, you know, properties and people when they're actually going for investment loans, and how, you know, all the different ratios, the LVRs and rental income, serviceability, you know, how they take that into account, and how they can, you know, use that to get, you can use that to get loan in your favor. It was probably big thing was about just learning about the finance after the second and third property, and where I really dedicated a lot of my time to understanding how the finance industry worked, how the whole process of purchasing a property, and how you can use your equity to leverage off, mixed with strong cash flow properties to continue moving forward and build an asset base for the future.
With this knowledge of finance, Deline quickly learned that the most important part of property is not taking no for an answer.
One bank is, you know, you could basically have 10 different banks and it'll tell you 10 different things. You know, you could take one property to 10 different banks and one says it's worth, you know, $200,000. The other bank says it's worth $250,000, $280,000, $180,000. You know, they value properties differently. There's different types of valuations. What I've learned as well, it has a huge impact on if you go with the wrong bank and, you know, they're not doing it the right way or in your favor, that's going to benefit the investor themselves, then you're stuck. Different banks also take into consideration different amounts of rental income that's actually coming from your portfolio. So some may cap it at 6%, some may take in 80% of total value. It changes all the time. But just learning those two things about, you know, the serviceability and also about the valuation part of finance.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve further into Deline's strategy.
I suppose when I started learning how banks work and how they value properties, that kind of shifted my mindset a bit, and it's something that takes a little bit getting used to.
He explains how bank valuations have helped him increase his property investment portfolio.
So if you look at a lot of third-tier lenders, the first ones being the big four banks, then after that, the smaller and third-tier lenders. So a lot of people go with them to try to get the lowest interest rate majority of the time to save on cash flow, not knowing that, you know, a lot of the things behind the scenes.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Invest Story. Are you looking at buying property? Unsure which suburb to choose? Let me share with you an amazing tool. It's called Location Score, and it's the simplest way to decide where to buy profitable property all over Australia. Created by property experts Ben Kingsley, Bryce Holloway, and Jeremy Shepherd. You can check it out at propertyinvestory.com/location score. Also, when you buy through my affiliate link, I'll give you 1 month access to the Property Investory Club, where you can learn from the experts and be part of a private property investing community valued at $99. Visit propertyinvestory.com/location score to claim your special offer. Deline's tried and tested strategy is to buy and hold his properties and to ensure that they have a high rental yield.
For me, in terms of strategy, it's definitely, as I said, a long-term thing. A lot of people, they do buying, flipping, selling, renovations and that kind of thing. And for me, it's not to say I won't do something out in the future, but, you know, I see the more benefits of holding and acquiring a portfolio long-term that is, you know, rich in cash flow and that continues and compounds year after year, as well as equity. So it's definitely buy and hold strategy for me all the way until I get to that, you know, huge asset base where I can then go and do other things. But so definitely it's buy and hold strategy. It's purchasing properties with a very high rental yield. So I always aim for, you know, properties that are within, say, the half an hour radius, so 45 minutes. The furthest one being away from a city is Central Coast, but all the other ones are within half an hour, 20 minutes of a actual metro area. So having that rental yield there is crucial, whether it be usually above 7%. I've had ones that are 11%, 10%, 8%, but yeah, minimum above probably 7%. If you're looking at interest rates that are roughly 5% or 4% or around that mark and they fluctuate up and down, 7% starting out, it's very easy to push a 7% rental yield to an 8 or 9% rental yield in a year or two by increasing the rent in a metro area. So
he says that educating himself was key to his leapfrogging strategy, as well as researching properties under market value and focusing on one particular area.
So from leapfrogging like each property and finding the property under actual, you know, the property value itself is, I suppose when I started learning how banks work and how they value properties, that kind of shifted my mindset a bit, and it's something that takes a little bit getting used to. But basically, you know, doing that kind of research, so if we're looking in Queensland, for example, within half an hour radius, you know, so if you put a dot right in the middle of the Brisbane area and go around in half an hour radius, say if you're looking at it for a house, a townhouse, or a unit, and you can see quite clearly in a postcode, for example, or a few different suburbs that are quite niche and close to each other, that, you know, the average townhouse, for example, is selling for $200,000 or $220,000 or $250,000 even, say, for example, $220,000, and you can actually manage to pick one up for $180,000 or $170,000 or something like that. That comes down to, once again, working with real estate agents, but first and foremost, knowing what's selling around the area. And you can use it, whether it be RP data, you can use realestate.com or domain, but you've got to be focused on an area and find out what things are selling for, so that when something does come up, whether it be actually talking to real estate agents or whether it be bank administrators or that kind of thing, you can actually jump on it quite quickly. And usually best properties are the ones that they go out the door quite quickly, so you've got to be quick, but you've got to have the education to jump on it first.
The bank valuations has aided him in his quest to purchase more properties, saying that it allows him to draw out more equity.
For different banks, for example, if you look at some third-tier lenders, and this is just going off my information, what I've learned over the time, and things do change, of course. So if you look at a lot of third-tier lenders, the first ones being the big four banks, then after that, the smaller and third-tier lenders. So a lot of people go with them to try to get the lowest interest rate majority of the time, to save on cash flow, not knowing that, you know, a lot of the things behind the scenes, that if you go back to revalue the property in, say, 12 months' time, that, you know, they might revalue the property through their revaluating system. So what I mean by that is it might be forced to do a full valuation, depending on what LVR you borrow it at. So generally, if you're borrowing at high LVR, 90%, 95%, they're always going to do a full valuation and be very ultra conservative when doing that. Whereas there's different valuations, there's drive-by valuations, desktop valuations, lots of different ones. So there's about three, four different kinds, depending on what bank you go with. But some banks are only limited to one type that they do, depending on which one you go with. If you go to 10 different banks, you take one property to 10 different banks and you say, what's it worth? Or, if someone actually did that, which is a lot of work to do, you wouldn't do it. But as an example, if you did that, 10 different banks could give you 10 different answers. So yeah. Which one's going to help you move forward?
Yeah.
That's the question.
He shares with us one of the personal habits which have contributed to his success.
I suppose, always try to be, I'm very competitive, I guess. I don't know if competitiveness is a habit or, how a person is, but very competitive. Even when I used to play sports when I was younger, in just my life and how, in career-wise, in property investing-wise, just want to be, some of the best at everything I do.
Daleen also reveals his go-to guide on property investment and personal finance.
One of the first and then, one of the best books I ever read when I was much younger, of course, and it applies to a lot of things, not only real estate, but and I'm sure you might have even read it, and a lot of thousands of people have read it, Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki is a huge personal finance educational book, and that's something that a lot of people have read and is very well known. And if you haven't read it, you really should. I always tell my friends and all that kind of people who are interested in, looking at doing something, you should definitely read that book first before you do anything. And then, other books, of course. But yeah, that helped me a lot, that book.
If you'd like to connect with Edward Daleen or gain more insights into his success, you can get in touch with him through his Facebook page.
Check me out on Facebook. I've got a Facebook page where a lot of people, message and put up, things as well, like tips and tricks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm always happy to meet and talk to everyone about property investing. It's something I'm very passionate about, and you don't really get to talk to a lot of people that are involved in property. So yeah, through Facebook, definitely. Yeah, which is just Eddie Daleen Property Facebook.
Thank you to Edward Daleen, our guest on this episode at Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey, where he grew up without a house to his family name, and how that served as the drive behind his $2 million portfolio, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar Edward Daleen and select that episode to learn more about his story. Also, are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to get your copy right now. Thanks for listening.